In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. While I was preparing this episode, the question came to mind, who invented the helmet? So I did the usual, asked Khaltu, Khalu, Atu, Google, and he or she replied that helmets were invented around 2500 BC, that is before Christ, not before Common Era, 2500 years before Christ. And they were invented to protect the wearer during battle. And these were individual examples, but not mass produced. So they would be made individually. Interestingly, the first mass production or the first mass produced versions were worn by, lo and behold, the Assyrians. It was the Assyrian soldiers 900 years before Christ, or 900 BC, they actually made a mass production of helmets, and they were mainly made from bronze and protecting the wearer from sword blows and arrow strikes. It's a little trivia for you. I was really encouraged and proud of my nation, as I always am. Every time you look into something, an invention, you'll find the Assyrian name. Praise and glory be to God. Now let's get back to the armor of God, which we've been speaking for the past, I think it was three episodes. And we're discussing the armor of God to be utilized to avoid giving Satan a foothold. And today we're going to discuss the helmet of God and the sword. In Ephesians chapter 6, first part of verse 17, Saint Paul encourages or instructs that we take the helmet or the guard of salvation. And by this, St. Paul is implying the firm, the rock-solid hope in God. One of his implications, the firm and rock-solid hope in God. And this saves and protects our head. That is our mind, our intellect, and protects it from what? From every raid of evil thoughts. And also, it is Christ himself indeed who is the author of salvation, who is the salvation that God sent to mankind. He is our head. And it is indeed Christ who guards the heads of the faithful that have committed to him, are faithful, loving him, and obedient to him. Therefore, he is the helmet of salvation. So when Paul is saying, take the helmet or guard of salvation, alongside with the rock, firm, solid hope in God, it's taking on Jesus Christ. So how do we put on Christ? How do we take him and wear it and use it as a helmet, as a guard? How do we utilize Jesus Christ, praise be to his name, as a guard to our mind and our thoughts and our intellects? Is to have him constantly on our thoughts, our minds, our thinking, our contemplations. In one of the episodes of The Simpsons, yes, it's very big in Australia. I'm not sure if it's still big in Australia. Not so much in the United States. I recalled an episode, a scene where Homer receives a new working partner, and it's a female working partner, and they are selected to attend some show. And it's in the elevator, and Homer is with the female work partner, and he's telling his brains to think of unsexy thoughts. And he's constantly repeating it to himself. What is he doing? That is to avoid falling for immoral temptation and lust. We do the same, but in a contrary way. When we take on Christ as the helmet of our salvation, it is as though we are constantly telling ourselves, filling our minds, filling our thoughts, and telling it to think of Jesus Christ. Think of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be telling our minds. That's what we need to be doing with our minds and thoughts, to think continuously of Jesus Christ, our salvation, who is the God. And how do we do this? St. Paul, in the fifth chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, verse 19, gives us the clue. But speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, meaning spiritual songs, by singing in your hearts, which also implies the minds, to the Lord God. Constantly sing Qadisha Allah, or Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. La chumarat chulla modenan, unto you, Lord of all, we confess. Bashrara marla shawenan, in truth, O my Lord, we are not worthy. All right? Constantly say to yourself, think to yourself, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord Jesus, Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, those who'd like, and I'm going to commit Stephen and Adrina, the producers, to this, I have recorded a few church hymns and antiphons, and I think you can find them on somewhere. Just message us, and Stephen and Adrina will direct you to it, so where you can continuously be listening to spiritual songs. That's what St. Paul is instructing, beloved. Be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit by singing in your heart or your mind to the Lord God. And the second half of verse 17, Paul also instructs that we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hence, when I invite my beloved brothers and sisters to the Adults Bible Studies gathering on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. at Larsa Hall, I end my message with, bring your sword and a friend, implying to the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Now, you may have noticed that the past episodes and what we've been discussing, that the weapons given and recommended by St. Paul and spoken of previously are defensive ones, ones where we defend ourselves with. Now comes our offensive weapons or armors to strike and slay the enemy, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is possibly a translation of the Holy Spirit itself, or the grace of the Holy Spirit, or the spiritual way of life. By this means, we can cut off the strikes and cut off the temptations and the luring and the deception of the evil one. In Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, we read, this is a prophecy, in that day the Lord shall visit with the hard and great and powerful sword, which is the Word, which is also Christ himself, the Word of God. He will strike, he shall visit with a hard and great and powerful sword against Leviathan, which is a serpent dragon, and against Leviathan, the widening serpent. This is all a typology of the enemy, Satan, and he shall kill the dragon in the sea with the sword, which is the word of God, which is Christ himself. The word of God, remember, beloved, is not just the scriptures. It's not just the written word of God, the accounted word of God. The word of God with a uppercase W is Jesus Christ. He is the word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And by this also, St. Paul casted out demons. By this, the apostles healed the sick in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk, St. Peter said, commanded in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. So what St. Paul is also referring to here is that the spiritual truth, wisdom, power, direction, conviction, encouragement, inspiration, reassurance, etc., they all reside in the Word of God. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the written Word of God. You know, when you hear a sermon, when you hear a proclamation of the Word of God, it is the power of that word that fills your mind, guards your mind. We pray this, guard our minds from the evil one. How do we do that? By contemplating, thinking constantly on the word of God, Jesus Christ himself, and the written word of God. And by taking on Christ in our minds, we have put on that guard. Hence this podcast is the double-edged sword. This is our weapon. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, St. Paul writes, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." If you have no relationship with the word of God, which is Jesus Christ himself, praise be to his name, and you have no relationship, you have no affiliation with the written word of God, which is your sword, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, you are in a very dangerous position. You are open to the flaming arrows of the enemy, who will shoot them and will make the market, the target, will hit the target, and the fall will be great. But when we do constantly have that unwavering relationship with the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the written Word, the Holy Scriptures, we are guarded. And then Paul continues to say that we need to continue to pray in the Spirit. Let me read to you what Mar'i Shudad, Bishop of Hadatha, writes and comments on this. According to Mar'i Shudad, prayer is spoken of in a threefold way. There are three ways we pray. First, of the words that we utter, just like Hannah prayed with the mouth, speaking in her heart, meaning she was miming. In her heart, she's praying, she was just moving her lips, and Eli, the priest, thought that she is drunk, and she was praying for a child. And then we have Phinehas in Psalm chapter 106, verse 30, which was a prayer of an act of zeal. He got up and he prayed and he ended the plague. So there's two ways. There is the uttering of the heart and the lips, and there is the prayer where you have confidence and zeal that you stand up and you pray and you can perform through your prayer what you have intended to do. But it's the third one that Christ has commanded us to do, is the prayer of the mind. That is, that we pray and we understand what we are praying. When we pray, others must understand what we are praying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, St. Paul writes, "I shall pray with my spirit, and I shall pray also with my understanding, knowing what it is that we are asking for, knowing how we communicate with God, the sovereign Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to say, I shall sing with my spirit, and I shall sing also with my understanding. See, sometimes we fall in that trap where prayer is, you know, a little downplayed. It's just speaking to God. Yes, amen. Prayer is speaking to God. Prayer is communicating with God. But we must remember that through prayer, and I've always mentioned this, is that we enter into the presence of God. So you just imagine Jesus Christ appearing to you. What happened to Saul on the way to Damascus? You just put in your mind and imagine this for a second, that while you're praying, Jesus Christ appears to you. Are you going to be slumbered over your seat with the, you know, shaking of your foot and talking as though you're talking to your best friend or a neighbor or a family friend? Or you will be falling on your knees, bowing your head, striking your head on the ground because you are in the presence of your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. So understanding when we pray what we are praying and how we do pray. And Marie Shudat continues to say that every one of them, what I just spoke about, the three ways of praying, is also threefold, is bodily, mentally, and spiritually. But as I mentioned, our Lord has delivered to us the last kind, the understanding to know what we are praying. And he told us that when we do pray, that we pray not using vain repetitions. We don't need to mention Jesus' name 35,000 times to cast out demons. We don't need to mention God's almighty sovereign way or name 15,000 times to accomplish what we want. Once, when Simon said to the beggar, "Silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, this is what I have. This is the authority I have, that by the name of Jesus Christ, you may be healed." Once. Because in the name of Jesus, demons shudder. So there's no need to repeat and repeat. God's not death. Jesus is not death. Satan is not, powerful to that point where you need to continue to inject and inject and inject the name of Jesus Christ. No, Satan is a weakling. Satan is basically nothing before Jesus Christ, beloved. He has crushed his head and he's given us that authority to do so as well. So be careful when you pray. Use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for things much speaking, like through many words. Now, yes, many people have confronted me. Well, why is it that we say the trisagion, Qaddisha, Alaha, three times? Well, we say it once in honor of the Father and in honor of the Son and in honor of the Holy Spirit. Not that we don't have confidence that when we say it once, we don't receive the blessing and the sanctification. No, and we're glorifying God. But when you repeat in vain words that possibly not even understand and know what the power of that word is, well, that's what Jesus is talking about. We are to pray in the Spirit and at all times, beloved. Let our deep affections enter our prayer. You know, before praying, and I always say this when we end a meeting with the youth, and I say, okay, let us close in prayer. There are people still continuing with their conversations. And as soon as they finish a conversation, they want to enter a prayer. No, there's got to be at least 5 seconds of preparedness to prepare yourself, to put yourself in that spiritual realm that we are now going to enter God's presence. And when we pray, beloved, that way, That is when we do not give Satan not a foothold, not even a toehold. There is no place for Satan because it's already been preoccupied by the power and the majesty and the holiness of Jesus Christ. You do not know what to pray or how to pray. Some people ask, you know, I have difficulties praying to the Lord. Well, Christ has given us a model of prayer. And, you know, it's heartbreaking that this prayer is sometimes frowned upon, lack of a better term. Like, you know, you don't know how to pray. You just pray the Lord's Prayer. Of course, that's the Lord's Prayer. You just mentioned the Lord. You know, you don't know what the Lord is. You don't know who the Lord is if you're just going to take his prayer, just something that is so light and so easily taken. No. Christ taught us that in this manner we shall pray and say, Our Father in heaven, pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us the bread of our need this day, and forgive us our debts as we forgave our debtors. And bring us not into trial, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever and ever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.